Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
From the New York Times, I'm Michael Barbaro. This is The Daily. On Sunday, the president of Afghanistan fled the country. The Taliban seized control of the country's capital, and the American-backed government there collapsed. In Kabul, chaos gripped the city as tens of thousands of people went into hiding or tried to escape. Among them is a 33-year-old woman, an outspoken critic of the Taliban, who asked that we refer to her by the initial R for fear of retaliation. In the days leading up to the fall of Kabul, R packed her entire life into 6 suitcases and started searching for a way out. Since Friday night, she's been sharing her experience and fears with my colleague, Lindsay Garrison, as the Taliban closed in. It's Monday, August 16th.
Hey, R, I know you are incredibly busy, but I was thinking that maybe you could record some voice memos and send them to me over the next few days. Anything that you're seeing, anything that you're thinking, if your situation changes, if you're able to get out of the country, you can just record anything like that and send it to me. And I hope you're doing okay. As okay as anyone can be in this kind of circumstance.
Today, we just, a couple of hours ago, we learned that Logar collapsed, which is just 70 kilometers away from Kabul, which is so scary because now they are just very, very close to Kabul. And still, there is no way for my family and I to leave, but with the help of some friends, we managed to find a safer place for tonight. So I'm moving with my whole family there, and we'll stay there tonight, and we'll see what will happen. Because some people say that there might be fighting tonight. They might start attacking Kabul tonight or tomorrow. So I have been just moving houses. I'm just like on the way, taking my suitcases, packing up, moving from one place to the other. And it's just so overwhelming, so exhausting and scary. I don't know what to do. I really don't know what's going to happen.
Good morning. It's late Friday night here, and I think pretty early your Saturday morning. I just wanted to see if anything ended up happening last night, and where you are.
It's early morning, and gladly nothing happened last night. So my sister and I, we moved to this house, and my mom and my brothers will join us today. So right now we are just trying to find a way that at least all of us can be together. But we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. We are just very hopeful and trying to be optimistic. And we just received messages that the Taliban are about to attack Kabul within 72 hours. And this, I don't know, they have been confirmed by official sources, but I really don't know what is the plan for the Americans and for the British, because they already brought some troops, and they are bringing more troops today to evacuate their staff and some Afghans. I don't know. I just don't have a good feeling today. I think we just don't have much time. But I don't know. I'm just praying that we will be out soon. I just walked to the main road and, you know, the roads are busy, people are walking around and they're doing their business. It looks like a normal day, but the thing is, I think maybe they have no clue that Kabul can fall any minute or any hour or any day. I was told that they might attack Kabul today, so it's better if I stay in this area so I don't get stuck somewhere. And also, I was told that the commercial flights might stop tomorrow. I don't know if it's true or false. I'm waiting for the Canadians to tell me if I'm eligible, if they can put me on this list. The Americans say that there's no guarantee, but they might be able to put us on the list and evacuate us, but they may not. So we are also like, we are still trying to find, like, you know, ways out for myself and for my family members. These are the latest updates that I have.
The Taliban are advancing relentlessly across Afghanistan as the U.S. carries out the final stages of withdrawing all its troops. With international forces largely gone, the Islamist group is taking more territory from a demoralized Afghan military.
Taliban tweeted out this video of its fighters celebrating on top of an armored Humvee as it drove through the streets. Vehicles they captured from U.S.-trained and equipped Afghan forces.
Afghanistan's President Ashraf Ghani spoke publicly today for the first time in days. He's vowing to keep fighting.
In a speech to his nation, Afghan President Ashraf Ghani this morning vowed not to give up over what he called the achievements over the past 20 years.
And as this has been happening, tens of thousands of people continue to flood into Kabul, and many of them have come with nothing because they've come from cities that have been centers of fighting.
I'm just curious, what's the mood like in Kabul right now? Is it quiet? Are people scared? Is it chaotic? I'm just curious what the city actually feels like right now.
I'm driving through the city and I see fear in people's faces and people are rushing everywhere, and I saw hundreds of people lining up behind the banks to withdraw their monies and close their accounts probably. And we just heard about this announcement that President Ghani is going to resign, even though he didn't mention it in his statement, but it seems that he will resign soon. That is what I heard from my, you know, sources. Now everything is just even more complicated because, and even more unpredictable. I don't know what's gonna happen anytime soon. It's just terrifying and worrying. I don't know. It's been so tragic that I have been just carrying my suitcases from one place to the other, and without even knowing that, like, if I would ever get out with them. But I'm just carrying them from here to there, hoping that I will find an exit way.
We'll be right back.
From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, starring Zendaya as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy turned coach. Married to Art, a champion on a losing streak played by Mike Feist, Tashi's strategy for her husband's redemption takes a turn when he faces off against the washed-up Patrick, played by Josh O'Connor, his former best friend and Tashi's former boyfriend. Pasts and presents collide. Tashi must ask herself, what will it cost to win? See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com.
When you think about the 2024 election, how do you feel?
Sickened.
Hey, y'all. Estead Herndon here, host of The Run-Up from The New York Times. And recently, I've been asking this question a lot.
I feel tired. I feel a little scared.
And I've been hearing the same sort of answer in reply.
We have an incompetent incumbent and a Republican that I'm not going to vote for. Yeah.
When voters look ahead to the 2024 presidential election, they feel apathy, dread, that it's just a mess. The Run-Up is your guide to that mess. Each week,
I am going to vote for the man with the most impeachments and the most indictments.
We'll talk to voters, elected officials.
I believe America can do for anyone what she's done for me.
And the candidates themselves, all to help you better understand this moment in American politics. The Run-Up is new every Thursday. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
We're getting new developments from Afghanistan, where the situation is changing there minute by minute.
Tonight, the Afghan army is trying to hold back the Taliban in the north's biggest city, Mazar-e Sharif.
On Saturday, the Taliban captured the northern city of Mazar-e Sharif after security forces fled to neighboring Uzbekistan, allowing the insurgents to march in unopposed.
Another Afghan provincial capital just south of Kabul has fallen to the Taliban.
Taliban fighters have captured the city of Jalalabad, the capital of Nangarhar province. It was one of two remaining government strongholds, and really just a few hours' drive away from the capital, Kabul.
I don't know if you're aware of this, but two major cities just collapsed. And it's so devastating to see that my country is just falling on her knees. And no one is just taking any action, and just like the whole world just watching us out. I just can't sleep. I'm like, if I sleep, I'm gonna miss something. So I'm just trying to stay awake all night, having my family with me, and just checking on my friends, and just trying to see what I can do for them, what I can do for my family. And honestly, I feel embarrassed and I feel ashamed on behalf of the world, on behalf of the countries that claim that they are human rights defenders, women's rights defenders, and they are here to establish democracy and freedom of speech, women's rights, and all these bullshits. And now they're just decided to just leave and let us die. To the world, it's just a city that collapses, but to me, it's not just a city, because I know with every city, there are thousands of souls that collapse. There are thousands of millions of dreams that collapse. There are our history, our culture, our art, our beauty, our life that collapse. And that is why every time I hear that a city collapses, I collapse again and again. And I don't know what is next. And how they are close to Kabul and when they are gonna take over Kabul. But I just keep telling myself that I have to stay alive. I have to be strong because I need to document all these things. I need to record everything. And I need to do something because I don't want this to be forgotten. It's so painful, it's so devastating, it's backbreaking. And I feel so miserable because I feel so helpless and powerless because I cannot do anything. I wish I could do magic. I wish I could do something that this country would grow wings to just fly away from all this bloodshed and just save her children. I don't know where I should, if I could grow or expand my arms to just hold this country and its people and just protect them. It's so devastating and it's so unfair. But what I know, the history will not forget it. The history will remember every name, every face that was involved in creating this bloodshed and mess for us.
NBC News has confirmed that the president, President Ghani of Afghanistan, has left the country.
Afghan President Ashraf Ghani's departure signals the government has all but handed power to the Taliban.
The question now is what happens next?
We are back now with our rolling coverage of the situation in Afghanistan. The Taliban are saying they have ordered their fighters to enter the capital city of Kabul.
There are images online coming out right now inside Kabul, the presidential palace overrun by the Taliban, Bagram Air Base, where there were more than 5,000 prisoners held, among them not only Taliban insurgents, but also Al-Qaeda fighters.
They've released prisoners, thousands of them.
5,000 to 7,000 of the most hardened Taliban and Al-Qaeda fighters.
Certainly a concern to the civilian population in Kabul and across Afghanistan, who will see very quickly the Taliban reinforce their ranks and then ultimately, as the group has made clear, reinforce Sharia law across the country.
Hi, Lindsay. It's been such a long, exhausting, terrifying day. So much happened just in one day. My brain still cannot process this whole thing because earlier this morning, all the roads were fully packed and just in the matter of like half an hour, all the roads were empty. There were gunfire, and then people were just rushing, running on the streets to find somewhere to hide somewhere. And I just can't believe. I think it's gonna take some time for me to believe what's happening now. I just can't believe that they give up a whole country this like easily, and just forget about like the sacrifices that we made, the things that we worked so hard for. And now it's just a matter of just saving your life. I think it's the worst day of my life to see what I'm seeing.
I don't know, I just feel so disappointed. I feel so disgusted and I feel so enraged that it's like a joke. What is happening is like, it's like a joke. And I can't believe. And by now they are inside the city, I think, because I just heard that 2 minutes ago they entered the city. And yeah, we lost so many things. And I'm just losing everything. And now I lost my house, I lost my belongings, I lost my city, I lost my country, I lost my dreams. Today is Monday, 16th August, and we were about to leave to the airport an hour ago, but there were about two helicopters to come and take us, but for some reason it was cancelled, and then we learned that the civilian side of the airport is now under the control of the Taliban, and if we want to go to the military side, we have to pass through civilian side, and there is no guarantee if we can reach there safely. So now we are back to where we were staying last night. We are just waiting to see how things move on and if we will be able to make it to the airport sometime soon. I don't know.
So you're basically stuck?
Yeah, we are stuck. They are negotiating. The Americans are negotiating with the Taliban, and maybe we'll be able to go to the airport soon, but let's see.
On Sunday night, during a ceremony at the presidential palace, Taliban fighters celebrated the rebirth of what they're calling the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan. The name the Taliban used until their ouster in 2001 at the hands of the United States. In a statement, the Taliban said it had ordered its men not to harm civilians in Kabul, saying, quote, "Our forces are entering Kabul with all caution." But signs of change arrived quickly across the city. Workers raced to paint over advertisements featuring women in accordance with Taliban rules. As of this morning, R is still in Kabul and still trying to get out. We'll be right back.
Support for this podcast and the following message comes from BlackRock. Are you looking for a way to stay updated on the biggest market trends? On The Bid, a podcast from BlackRock, we break down what's happening in the world of investing and explore the forces changing the economy and finance. From stock market outlooks and megatrends to geopolitics and technology, BlackRock speaks to thought leaders and industry experts from around the globe about the biggest trends moving markets. Subscribe to The Bid wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's what else you need to know today.
Which is what you do have it? Which?
Rescue workers are searching for survivors of a magnitude 7.2 earthquake that struck Haiti over the weekend, killing nearly 1,300 people. The quake snapped water lines, blocked roads, flattened stores, and damaged hospitals. It was the latest blow to an impoverished country already in political crisis since the assassination of its president last month. Today's episode was produced by Lindsay Garrison, Annie Brown, and Rochelle Banja, with help from Stella Tan. It was edited by Larissa Anderson and MJ Davis Lynn, contains original music by Dan Powell, and engineered by Chris Wood. That's it for The Daily. I'm Michael Barbaro. See you tomorrow.
When it comes to ensuring your company has top-notch security practices, things can get complicated fast. With Vanta, you can automate compliance for SOC 2, ISO 27001, and more. Vanta's market-leading trust management platform helps you unify security program management with a built-in risk register and reporting, and streamline security reviews with AI-powered security questionnaires. Over 7,000 companies like Atlassian, Flow Health, and Quora use Vanta to manage risk and prove security in real time. Watch Vanta's on-demand demo at vanta.com/daily. That's vanta.com/daily.